minus three with Dave Dameshek.
All right. Basketball in the rearview mirror. Baseball and the Olympics ready to roll here. Football is nigh. Hi and hello and welcome to Minus Three, presented by FanDuel, part of the Extra Points Network. Hope the week treated you well. We know it treated the good people of Milwaukee, Wisconsin well. Mazel tov to Giannis on down there. Kevin Hench is ready to roll here. Let's chop up a little basketball. We got Red Sox and Yankees. That should provide some good content for you. As Kevin Hench, the Red Sox backer, and Eddie Spaghetti, the Yanks lover, are prepared to go head-to-head once again. Hench, what's the poop, fella?
It was weird as a neutral, and I guess I wasn't that neutral because I did bet on the Bucks for the series, which makes you not neutral right quick. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised at how, it was like I was rooting for the Celtics. I was so taken with the Giannis storyline. And really, look, I know Drew Holiday and Middleton, every other game or every third game would kick in. But Giannis was carrying so much fucking dreck to the promised land. I felt like I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, Drew puts up another 4-for-19. He barely drew iron.
I know. Listen, but let me just say this.
But
we talked about it on an extra point.
We had this recency bias thing. But as I was watching it, I was like, if they win this game, this is the single greatest performance in a closeout of all time.
I mean, yeah, you're not being a prisoner to the moment. Go ahead and look it up. I don't think statistically you'll find any challengers to that one. Yeah, listen, we talked about it on Extra Points earlier this week, me and Cousin Sal, and he raises a good question, and you kind of touch on it there too. Does this do away with every team being consumed with getting their version of a big three? Because Giannis kind of blows that up, except the asterisk next to that, and I don't want to be cynical, and I think the 2021 Milwaukee Bucks have provided their faithful a moment that will keep them warm in the cold months, years, decades that probably lay ahead for them, but that should be fine. Do not be a Red Sox fan. I'm sorry, Hench. I don't mean to beat you up a little bit, but you remember your friend Simmons? He wrote a whole book about, like, now I can die in peace, and everybody loved it. And, like, that's the right sentiment. Just once. My old man who, you know, born in Boston and, matriculated up there and everything else, still wears his Red Sox colors on his sleeve, even though he lives on the banks of the Three Rivers for the last 40 years. He loves the Red Sox. All I want to see is just once. I just want to see once. And then the next season, you guys were belly aching about it. Like, oh, these Red Sox, I don't know about. All you wanted was one, so you got it. Now, don't cry about it. Milwaukee fans need to take a lesson from Red Sox fans and not be like that. You don't get to complain. Say Portland Trailblazers won it in 77 with Bill Walton. I feel like until very recently with the Dame Lillard stuff, people were kind of okay with that up in Portland, as they should be. Sometimes one is magical enough to keep you warm, like I say, for many lean years to come.
Is it magical enough for the 15-year-olds?
That's where parenting comes in. That's where good parenting comes in and says, let's just appreciate this.
Here, just
now, tomorrow's not promised, Junior.
Read this book by David Halberstam. It'll take the place of actually winning championships. You can learn about Bill Walton and Maurice Lucas. Of course you should be wanting your team to win a championship.
I know you should, but you might not get it. And so what, do you're always going to be unsatisfied, not satiated? You reached the mountaintop, Bucks fans. It's been a long wait. Enjoy this one. I'm not saying, but this immediately that we have to roll over into, like, in the Bucks.
You kind of blew by it.
Let me just say this. The answer to that question, without adding some pieces to the existing Bucks roster, the answer is, can they repeat? No, because the 2021 postseason, as we and everybody else have talked about for the last 3 months, have an asterisk on them because of all the injuries. Boy, Giannis, he carried a lot of dreck. Yeah, because the Sixers had injuries and the Nets had injuries. They wouldn't have been in the finals if it weren't for the injuries. So, yes, of course, I hate to be a cynic, and I don't want to take away from your glorious moment, Bucks fans, but of course, that's the reality. The other thing I do want to say is, before you get going here, Hench, is we have not had nearly enough analysis in the last 48, 72 hours of what in hell went on with Giannis making those free throws. Because that that is beyond rational explanation. What was he sandbagging for years and years? What was this?
You know what it brought to mind? Randomly, but I'm like, I'm watching it happen, just, you know, banging down one after another. First of all, he took my advice and he sped up. I was on that. I was the first one on that when he was still missing. I was like, just huck it up there.
Right, but you were.
Remember this, I believe this stat is correct. Chamberlain scores 100. That night, he's 28 for 32 from the foul line. I believe that's accurate. So then you're like, wait a second. You can make free throws? Like, well, I don't understand. Like, you know, and we were talking before we came on. It's like Giannis wasn't like banking them in. I mean, like, these looked good. Like, it's like, which is it? Can you actually concentrate and make a free throw? By the end of the game, you were like, when he missed his last or next to last one, you were like, what's up? He literally went from you expecting him to brick everyone to you expecting him to make everyone.
I get the game doesn't flow the same if he isn't making that that percentage of free throws. Basically, had only had the one miss for pretty much 47 minutes in that. But just raw numbers, if he makes his normal percentage, they win that game by 7. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure of that because both Booker and Paul had a shot at getting it under the 4.5.
I know.
The Suns, and they both missed threes. But in you know, straight up win loss, if he misses 8 fewer, which is about his percentage on the year, then literally we're looking forward to game 7 now because that's the difference in the game. It felt like a coronation coming down to the very end. But of course, if Giannis does his standard, it's a completely different conversation at this
point. And Connaughton misses the 2 free throws. And Booker, if Booker goes 1 for 7 from 3-point land instead of 0 for 7, we could have middled. Those Bucks bettors like me who hedged with the plus 4.5, it could have been the all-time glorious Suns lose by 4. You win that bet and the Bucks series bet. But no, Booker took it all the way to the end, 0 for 7, Antoine Walker style. Hey, real quick, because you blew by it.
Go ahead.
Where did your dad matriculate in Boston?
Tufts Medical School.
Oh, excellent. So that was medical school. What about undergrad?
He went to Franklin and Marshall in Eastern Pennsylvania. Town, Lancaster, PA.
I always like to see what, you know, generationally, where parents set the bar for their kids and how far short kids fall. Because as I've gotten older, you know, Indiana's a good school. Mazel tov for them making people get vaccinated. I'm down with the Hoosier policy. I spent a lot of my life like being like, you know, hey, dad, like you should have tried harder. And now I'm in that thing of like, this has been awesome. I cleared my dad early on. Like he set such a low bar. You know, what a blessing. What a blessing to not have to. I mean, ironically, like your dad, also called Dr. Dr. Hench. Oh, English PhD.
Hey, right, listen. Right. I don't care if it's for a PhD in literature. I'll honor him and call him doctor. What I'm not going to do is call you coach. And that's one tick above calling somebody chef. That it makes it, I find it so repellent that I have a hard time watching those cooking shows when they're like, chef, what are you like? What the hell? What achievement is this? Like what background is there required to be called chef? I don't know. We go too far with the homages. Of profession, and coach certainly fits under them. I'm sorry, primetime, but those are my sincere feelings.
Spaghetti, where'd your old man go to school?
He attended Wagner College on Staten Island, where he played football.
All right, and you went to and you went to BU?
Oh, yeah. I'm far ahead of everyone in my family.
Yeah, so that's a nice trajectory. That's a nice trajectory. Yeah.
I know. I'm a real disappointment if the upward mobility of the Damashek clan has taken a sharp turn south with me. But, yeah, that's right. I also think, though, remember when we were growing up? I don't think this was as much your generation, Spaghetti, but a lot of movies and TV shows focused on, like, the joke, a recurring joke is like, oh, you're turning into your parents. In fact, Sarah Silverman has the banner joke on that subject. But we're going to turn. I don't feel I've turned into my parents. Do you? Do you think that was a canard that we grew up around there, Hench? I think I don't remember either of my parents ever feeling like, hey, it's Thursday night. I'm going to go out and get a couple belts. As just a for instance of where my path has deviated from those who spawned me.
Well, I'm much different than my dad in a lot of ways, but I will tuck into the couch for 6 hours of sports on the West Coast around dinner time. We share, he falls asleep obviously because he's on the East Coast, but there are these very, and I gotta say I do enjoy the Geico. I think it's Geico. Or is it Progressive? You're turning into your parents. That's a sign of a good ad.
The best. That guy is the best.
I asked off, but I don't know what product you're selling. You're turning into your parents. The one thing that I had a lot of, I laughed at my dad, you know, because he would get my name wrong, my brother's name wrong. He just would transpose everybody's name. Like, he'd never call anyone by their name. And then, you know, I have two kids and two dogs, and I'm like, the dogs are named Ollie and Louie, which are so close. And then I've got a Gigi. And then my daughter Sophie's best friend is Gidget. So I'll have a Gidget and a Gigi in the house. And then I'm like, this is when I'm like, oh my God, I'm 0 for my last 11 saying someone's name. This is where it ends up for all of us.
I suppose that's pretty good. And it is true, to be vaguely saccharine. That is the thing. No matter what in life, it's the point of Field of Dreams. It's the point of City Slickers in part. And other. It really is true. That you and the old man always have sports, right? That's why I feel a little bit bad for Sal, that he decided he's such a contrarian in life that his original sin is his worst sin. He went against his own old man. He turned his back on the tri-state and embraced the Dallas Cowboys just because he had to be a mixer. Now he's stuck with the Sixers, with the Sixers, not the Mixers. That would be the name of his professional sports team. With the Cowboys now, while he didn't get to celebrate with his old man and the rest of the family and everything else. See, that's the thing. But Eddie Spaghetti, you've stayed loyal to the family brands at least, right? Yanks, there's no. Yeah.
I would never think of picking a team like not. It almost was never an option. It was like you grew up. It was just like the house was full of Lawrence Taylor and Mickey Mantle things. I'm like, okay, this is what it is. Like, oh, here's a picture of my dad. I'm at the John Starks dunking on the Bulls game, and I'm at the Rangers 94 Cup. It's like there was no option to root for something else. And I know people have some good stories as to why they picked a team that's not local, but for me, it was like, well, 1 year old. It was that's it. You're wearing these logos.
Sal's is owed to his old man making a mistake, if I remember correctly, right? Isn't that his old man brought him something from a road trip that had Cowboys, the star on it, and Sal embraced them as a result? So I guess his old man kind of did it to himself.
Well, I mean, look, if you're roughly our age, Sheck, pretty easy to fall in love with the Roger Staubach Cowboys when the Joe Pisarcik Giants are the alternative.
I guess, or the Richard Todd Jets. Yeah, that's a Dick Todd. No good going that direction either.
So I know this has been explained to me a million times that there is an actual sort of order. Like you know, it goes Rangers, Yankees, Knicks, Giants. I like that.
That's pretty solid. I think we've talked about this, right, Spaghetti?
Jets, Mets. But anyway, a buddy of mine from the University of Vermont, where
Jets, Mets, Nets.
I have not I've done a good job. My folks met at UMass. I went to the University of Vermont. I've left plenty of academic room for upward mobility for my daughters. They can blow by me easily, especially my academic performance at the University of Vermont. But anyway, So Tony Riley, my buddy from UVM, he goes Rangers, Knicks, Jets, Mets. That's his weird. That's what he chose as a kid, and that's what he's always rooted for. He sent me a text that if those are your four New York teams, Tampa Bay has won more championships in the last 12 and a half months than those four teams in 50 years.
Oh, that's grim stuff, especially for it. By the way, though, as it's been pointed out by others, Tom Brady's Bucks, Giannis's Bucks. Now, does this mean that Key Brian Hayes Bucks Fall Classic 20? No? All right. Let's get into our best bets here then, shall we? Let's kick it off because we do have some Yanks and Red Sox, like I say, upcoming this weekend and beyond. Hench, why don't you start us off?
Okay. So first off, you know, obviously we're into the summer doldrums, the slim pickings on the wire for gambling addicts.
You don't got Olympics fever?
The Olympics, because of fevers, are going to be truncated. That would be a good bet. Plus 550, Everybody goes home next week.
Number of events actually that get completed, right?
And, you know, I know obviously we try to do our best bets for the weekend. You can watch these games, but this thing jumps out at me. Chicago White Sox plus 725 right now to win the World Series. That's going to be plus 550 by the end of the season. Mark my words. Nobody is going to add two players like Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert. First of all, it's either Luis Robert or Luis Robert. You can't say it's Luis, but it's Robert. I don't know what kind of Cuban name this is, but it's Luis Robert. He's a six-tool player. Eloy Jimenez, Silver Slugger winner. They're adding both those guys are coming back. They're already loaded. Lance Lynn, Carlos Rodon, Lucas Giolito, and Dylan Cease. Like, that rotation is for real. Plus 725. That feels like that number is only going to go down from here. Get on it now. And then you can watch them this weekend and say, like, that's my team. Okay. Second, the Swedish women's soccer team didn't get a fluke victory versus the U.S. women. They thumped them 3-0. The Swedish women are plus 550 to win the Olympic gold. The U.S. women are still minus 125. If they met in the final, it would be a coin flip. So I'm saying Swedish women's soccer team plus 550.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
To win the gold.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What? We cover the northeast of Stockholm and the northeast. What? Yeah,
but both of those are within the continental U.S. You're going to make a wager on Sweden against the red, white, and blue?
I'm trying to make our listeners money.
Things are more important, aren't they? Eddie Spaghetti, weigh in. Is this acceptable?
Okay, listen. If somebody says to you, don't weigh in, Spaghetti. If somebody says to you, hey, we're going to flip a coin, heads or tails. Heads is plus 550, tails is minus 125. What are you going to bet on? I'm just telling you, it's a coin flip, and that Sweden soccer is often a 1-0 final where the team that dominated lost. That is not what happened in that game. 50-50 possession, Sweden won 3-0. Okay, look, don't bet it. Don't bet it. I don't care. Okay, hold on. And then look. So now the Red Sox, Yankees.
I'm just raising the question, Hench. That's what we do these days. We just ask questions. That's all. I'm just asking.
Spaghetti will agree with this. Like, look, you can dive into the individual pitching matchups in this big series in Boston this weekend. But what I feel like, and I don't know why, but there was something about the Yankees' entire team getting COVID that woke them up. Like, Glaber is starting to hit. Stanton is starting to hit. And so the Red Sox just hit 11 home runs in a two-game sweep of the Jays. So I'm going over in a sultry summer series in Boston between the Bombers and the first place Red Sox, soon to be tied for first place, soon to be second place Red Sox. But I think there's going to be a lot of mashing going on in Beantown. So hammer the overs all weekend.
I will pick it up right there, Hench, because on Saturday you got Eovaldi, who's been good. You've got Tyon, who quietly is starting to pitch pretty well. Not every time out there, but he is turning it around a little bit. The Yankees, for what it's worth, have won four of their last five Tyon starts. Three of the last five have been quality starts by the former Bucco. It was a matter of time, as I told you, Spaghetti. You could be cynical about him. If you come out of Pittsburgh as a starting pitcher, you will eventually be great, just not for the Pirates. You'll do it for another high-end team. I say on this one, go under, because both the good pitchers are turning it around. The number figures to be pretty high, so I think the value will be on going under total runs in that game. Pittsburgh and San Francisco, another dandy rivalry game. Kevin Gausman quietly having a good season. I say quietly because of what DeGrom's done. He is, in fact, though, Gausman, if I'm not mistaken, DeGrom lacks the minimum number of innings out. Is that correct? And that's why
he's got to by now. He has to be under the
middle. I don't know if he does. I think Gausman is technically your ERA leader. Either way, he's pitched well throughout the season. He's 4-1 at home. Meantime, the Buccos are throwing Will Crow out there on the road. His ERA is 6.66. It's the mark of the beast. You got to bet against it unless you're Kevin Hench. Bet against the U.S. and bet on the devil. I don't, but
Sweden? The Swedish women's team is the devil. Let's talk.
I'm talking about all opponents of the U.S. of A.
Global geopolitics for 5 hours, and where when we get to Swedish women and their rank an evil on the planet.
They do have good uniforms. I'll say that. I really like their uniform. So I do like the you know Giants at home against
your
the Gausman, pitiful.
Your Giants pick. Like, and I've been actually sprinkling a little dough here and there, and not with great success, because the Giants have been treading, you know, they've been holding on to that lead. We know the Giants are not going to win that division. It is not possible. They are probably going to finish third. When is this going to happen?
Not against the Pirates in San Francisco. That's all I'm looking for.
True that. But there are going to be some aberrant results along the way, because there's no way the fighting Mike Yastrzemskis win that brutal division. No way.
I do. You know what? I appreciate your candor where the Red Sox and Yankees are concerned. Yankees, at the time of this recording, 4 straight wins now. They're 7 back. The Jays, they've surpassed the Jays, as you forecasted 1 week ago, that the Yanks could get. Now just 2 teams ahead of them. I mean, that wild card is going to end up happening for the Yanks, if not something better. I think things are looking south for the team of the South, the Atlanta Braves, because of Acuna's injury. Drew Smyly, decent win-loss total, but the ERA is not that great. Philly smacked him around pretty good in the couple of starts he's had against them. Vince Velasquez for the Phillies, also not great, but his ERA around 4 at home. He did pitch well against the Braves in his one start against them. Over might be a good play. Phil's minus 1.5 is a good play. Those are my best bets of the weekend. All focused on hardball. Eddie Spaghetti, how say you?
Yeah, I'll stick with the hardball and Red Sox Yankees. We have, you know, Gerrit Cole pitching Friday. He's really the only one. I know Sheck, you like to say that I shouldn't be able to watch the Yankees because I question them.
But let's jump in, because I got to interrupt you because I want to get Hench's thoughts on this quickly.
All right,
and we had Nick Costos on earlier in the week, and we did some NFC and AFC East win totals for all 8 teams there. Go back and listen to that one. It was a lot of fun. But I also floated the moral, ethical question, and a Red Sox fan definitely can relate to this. Eddie, maybe not Eddie Spaghetti, but a lot of Yankees fans have declared this season's over. It's an embarrassment. This is what a disgusting thing this is and everything else. All right, then turn the TV off and stop watching them. And if they get to the postseason, you declared the team dead. Now you shouldn't get to watch at least a wild card round. I think we need to issue some sort of fan level policing here. How say you, Hench, on that?
I don't know what like sports fan universe you live in, where it's like, obviously our relationship with our teams, we are trying to inure ourselves against pain.
I get it.
We go, oh my God, the season's over. And once I can make peace with the season being over, then I won't be wounded by Aroldis Chapman melting down. So that's a defense mechanism. Then Chapman comes in and hits 101 and you get a save and you're like, we can do this. I see no hypocrisy. Of course, it's our irrational love and hate of our teams. That's fine, Spaghetti.
You think I don't know how that feels? You think I haven't been through that? Been through that ringer countless times myself?
So do you ever not watch the Steelers after you write them off?
I don't write them off unless when they're out of it, I will declare. I can express plenty of negativity about them. I just feel it crosses the line when people decree it's over with. Then why are you tormenting yourself? And by the way, it leads you into dark places like betting against your team. I wouldn't be surprised if you bet on the Yankees, Hench. I know you have.
Bet against my teams all the time. That's
wrong to do. That's not
emotional cushion. Well, look,
that's your rationalization, but it's wrong. And Eddie Spaghetti, you know that's wrong. To bet against your team, would you bet on the Eagles against the Giants?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
You would. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I apparently you're more moral.
Like Hench said, we got to make our listeners and viewers get them some money. And if I don't feel confident in my team,
Sheck, you'd have an entire college fund sitting there for your kids if you'd bet against the Steelers against the Patriots in the playoffs. Just think of all that dough.
I like to have fun, but sometimes you go too far. Go ahead, Eddie Spaghetti.
Well, to address that quickly, and like what Hench said before about the COVID thing, the Yankees just make no sense. Like, you figure, oh, there's going to be a COVID mishap, the team's toast, right before the deadline, maybe they'll sell off some parts, and they go and rattle off a bunch of victories in a row. So, yeah, this is where my brain's at. It's like the Yankees are a roller coaster, the Yankees make zero sense. So that's all I've said about the Yankees this season, which is why I'll still be able to watch if they make the postseason. But anyway,
Let me try to make some sense for you. Look at the payroll. The dollars and cents will make sense for you. That's why it makes sense that they would be able to rally at the halfway point in the season because they can just buy their way out of any trouble.
Your analogy is like turning off an NFL game at halftime, being like, "Oh, we're down a few points. Like, we're not coming back." That's basically what you're saying. There's a lot of season left, so I'm keeping some faith in terms of this series. I don't have the utmost faith because the Sox are a good team, but the person I have faith in is Gerrit Cole, who's been on a nice little stretch here. So I know the Yankees today are favored. They're getting a run and a half. They're getting a run and a half for Cole for sure. Take that. Even if they're laying a run and a half, I would say lay it. I think Cole's going to have a really good start here. The other part of the bet that I like, part two, is Gleyber Torres. I believe Hench mentioned him as well. I know today he's -270 to get a hit, so I'm assuming he's going to be around there. And he's +390 to hit a home run. And those numbers might change a little bit depending on tomorrow. But the reason why I say it is because Gleyber Torres versus Eduardo Rodriguez in 21 at-bats is batting .333 with not one, not two, but three home runs and nine ribbies. So he knows how to handle Eduardo Rodriguez. I really like Gleyber. And my last bet, I know I got kind of made fun of last week for the Javonte Williams and looking ahead here in NFL. I'm going to look ahead again, but a different sport. I'm going to go NBA. And right now, the Lakers are +600 to win the NBA title next season. Only team they're losing to are the Nets right now at +200, I believe, last I looked. The reason why I'm saying jump on the Lakers right now +600 is because if we know anything, number one, about the Lakers, you know, being who they are and needing to bring in star players, and LeBron, who is a guy that's constantly trying to bring in his friends. If Dame Lillard goes to the Lakers, and he's a guy that's rumored to go there, if not other players, that number is going to change. So if you want to hop on the Lakers to win, hop on that right now, because that number will change eventually. And I think Lillard is a guy that I could definitely see wearing the purple and gold.
Oh, of course. Yeah, essentially that exact thing on Extra Points as we were trying to do that. The Lakers are one of those teams. LA is a destination city. It remains that even in the digital age. It does have appeal to players who are able to move. And yeah, LeBron, like you say, is recruiting. They're not going to stand pat. You know, they're going to get a point guard who's going to be an upgrade. And if you assume Anthony Davis is healthy next year, who's going to get in their way?
Blazer fans are hysterical because they obviously live and die with their their one man team. Ian Carmel, funny stand up, great stand up, and a great Blazer fan. And he did this thread like, hey, if it's time for Dame Lillard to move on, so be it. You know, we will never not love him. We will never not love what he did for this city, for, you know, for this team, for this community, you know, on and on and on and on. And then it was like, unless he goes to the Lakers, then he's fucking dead to us. And it's like, and that is kind of how I feel too. Like, I mean, he's been a good soldier, but if you just fucking cop out and join up with AD and LeBron, ugh.
Two related things off of that for you. First of all, what do you make of the guy who departed Foxborough and moved down to the Tampa St. Pete area? Has a new swagger since he got down there. I don't know what it is, if it's the fun and sun and the tequila running through him, but he's really like, I was sort of, did you hear his interview earlier this week saying that I was surprised that more teams didn't go after me. Like it was the equivalent of teams turning down Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan. I guess there aren't that many smart people. That's pretty ballsy bit of arrogance from old humble TB, right?
Well, obviously I enjoyed TB's Friars roast of Donald Trump with Joe Biden. That was fantastic as they went to the White House, as teams do now, just because it's not a toxic cesspool anymore. But this is what I'll say about Tom Brady. I was thinking about this today. There are guys like Johnny Damon, like you root for him and he comes through and you like him and he's a champion on the Boston Red Sox. Fantastic. And then he goes to the Yankees. You're like, all right, guy's dead to me. I give fucking flying fuck if this guy, if anything good ever happens to this guy's life again. With Brady, I just love him so much that I'm like, it's so legitimate. It's so deep and real and true that I can't not root for the guy. Like, I find myself, I know you give me a lot of shit about Ray Bourque and the parade and, you know, it's a little like Ray Bourque, only like I find myself counting the seventh. I have to go like that wasn't with the pay. Like I find myself counting the seventh as part of our trophy case. Like, you know, that's how entwined I am with Brady. The guy, drunk on tequila or not, he walks on water. I love him. Obviously, his immigrant wife has helped him see the light about his red baseball cap in his locker. He's come around and he's the greatest living American.
I'm a Steelers fan, as you mentioned. I try to bury that. I don't like to wear my fandom on my sleeve generally, but now that it's out there, I'll address it. Fine. I root for the Steelers, and Tom Brady caused me a lot of pain over the last couple of decades. I like him very much, too. He's the delightful. People are now searching for – this is the big question of the week. Giannis is so likable, our most beloved superstar in sport, right? We all agree. Like, who's that in the NFL? Like, Tom Brady – for vanquishing so many and being a buzzsaw for two decades and the cheating questions and everything else, I find him eminently likable. Who is it that's still down on Tom Brady at this point? I mean, for real, the drunken stuff counts. He's married to a model. A lot of guys love to live vicariously, or I'm not sure what that's owed to. Like, he's a cool guy, got a hot wife, but I don't know what that does for you. But anyway, somehow that makes him appealing to other guys. I like him a great deal, but I like swaggy. I like swaggy Brady here. I also,
it is unbelievable. Like, he's,
I don't mind him. Together. Right.
This guy, I mean, this, he should be running the UN.
Now
he brought you and me together. This is great. Hey, Spaghetti.
As for Brady's former and your still head coach, big year coming up for him in 2021. We talked about that with Kostos. I'm not going to make you answer yet because injuries are going to be a factor. They always are in the month of August, so they will now. So I'm not going to hold you to a season total. I mean, we've already done it. We'll wait till we get a little bit closer, maybe as soon as next week or 2 weeks. But I continue to consider them, the Patriots, the X factor of the AFC. I don't know what they're going to be. Are they going to be irrelevant? They got to be, because if they can knock off the Bills once and the Dolphins once, then it impacts seeding, if nothing else in the conference, probably.
When you say X factor, you mean that little tiny X they put next to the team name when they clinch a playoff spot.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know if that's Olympic music, but that will have to do. The Olympics are here. If you haven't heard, FanDuel Sportsbook is ready to hook up new users with their Olympic bets. Just place your first bet of at least $10 on any Olympic sport and get a $100 bonus for it. Bet at least $20 and you'll get a $200 bonus. That's a bonus up to $200, regardless of the outcome of the bet. To get you started, my Olympic picks, I'm going to defer to Spaghetti. I am taking the U.S. over France in basketball. I have expressed my feelings about sending our best players. We should have stopped doing that after we sent the message through the Dream Team, but here we are. And I do trust Popovich and the talent that the U.S. will throw out there. I do think they go all the way. But Eddie Spaghetti, how say you? Do they win gold?
Yeah, I agree with you. They're going to win gold. I agree that I'm going to be the anti-Hench here. I want to pick the Team USA to beat France. And as you know, Zach LaVine clearing protocols now, he's going to be good to go for the game, which is good news for them. I know they lost those exhibition games, but I am telling you, they're going to come out. They're going to blow the doors off of France. Right now, it's 11.5. USA's laying 11.5. It's a -120 on that. I would say take that. I think they could win by 20-ish in this game. I think they're going to really, really impress us and make us stop worrying about Team USA.
And Simone Biles might be a good play. She's certainly an Olympic hero. Sprinkle a little something on her in the name of the U.S. of A. Remember, you'll get a bonus on any Olympic bet, whether it's baseball or soccer, track and field, when you place your first bet of $10 or more between July 19th and July 27th. You're smack dab in the middle of that right now. I love the promotions, just like the ones I just described to you. Here on America's number one sports book, easy to use, fast payouts, all that stuff. The important thing is when you're betting on the USA or if you're putting something on Sweden, so what? It's a free country. You can bet on other countries. I wonder if you're allowed to bet. I suppose you're allowed to bet on other countries and other countries. But in the U.S. of A., you're free to do that. See? Thanks to FanDuel. So do it that way. Make sure you do it. FanDuel.com/-3. The word minus. The number 3. Wave old glory.
Hey, I want to talk. This is pretty random. But I was fucking screaming at the TV watching Joe Girardi manage the Phillies against the Yankees. And like, I don't, you know, sometimes you just have an instinctive contempt for a human being. And obviously Girardi being a Yankee, I'm sure that's what started it. But watching him on at the MLB Network and watching him preen around with the Max Scherzer thing. And it's like, I don't like that guy. That guy's a fraud. That guy sucks. And by the way, does not know how to manage a Major League Baseball team. He's runner on second, top of the 10th. He fucking bunts. He's on the road. Have you not heard the analytics, Joe? Joe bunts the runner over to third, gives up an out. Gotta love that National League Baseball. Gives up an out to bring up his number 9 hitter, who of course whiffs, and they go on to lose to the Yankees. But Spaghetti, why do I hate Joe Girardi? Talk to me about Joe Girardi. What is it about him that's so hateable?
Well, on his way out, he was the anti-analytics guy. It was the player who didn't want to buy into it, which is why, you know, people say about Aaron Boone was, hey, we're going to hire this former player, but he also was a face at ESPN, so he's well-liked and he could speak, this and that and the other thing. But what we're going to have is a secret group of people, like analytics people from, you know, Yale and all the other schools who are really pulling the strings for the Yankees. So that's why Girardi was kind of was forced out as Yankees manager. Personally, like, I enjoyed him. I thought he was pretty fair to the media, and I thought he was a guy that, you know, was, you know, he was the manager of some good teams. I think right now, like, they're going to be Yankees fans. I mean, Yankees fans want Boone gone, and people are like, I wish we kept Girardi. Like, everyone got kind of upset when he left. So I don't know. Yankees fans, I feel like it was kind of underwhelming his you know, tenure as manager because they didn't win. But now with like Boone in place, who was supposed to, he'll solve all the issues, and a team that goes and wins like 100 plus games 2 years back and they don't get it done, now it's looking pretty bad as well. I mean, it's hard to ask a Yankee fan, because if you don't win a World Series, then you're pretty much considered a failure. But he was a guy that I had no issue with.
But if you're a dinosaur, I don't even know what it means to not embrace analytics now. Like what I like, it just means you don't understand how the game is played and won. Like there is no gut feel. There is no, like what, you know, it's like the, you have now bunted. You have now diminished your chances of winning this game. It's a long season. If you make the wrong decision over and over and over again, it's going to hurt your chances of making the playoffs. That's just a fact. I don't know, man. I like the way he was throwing the ball. I like the way he looked out there. I don't.
Boy,
like,
you really sounded like Joe Girardi there. That was not a half bad impression you just threw out there. For real, I'm with you. I mean, it's disgusting in the 21st century when guys are like, well, obviously you should have gone for two on that play, coach. Like, yeah, using my gut always serves me well. Does it? Does it serve you well?
I will add too, is like him being a former catcher, his issues definitely lied in with the bullpen and how his use of the bullpen, because he was a guy who's like, I understand pitchers. I know how to deal with pitchers. And the Yankees now are like, okay, Aaron Boone, you played what, infield? All right, we're going to have somebody else control the pitching staff and, you know, what to bring in, what arm and stuff. So he ran into some issues there. He was like, he was pretty raw as a manager. I know he did, you know, have other stops, but it seemed like he wasn't fully figured out. He was a guy that got hired based on just like, oh, he played and players used to know him and he's likable and bring him in. But he definitely has flaws, and you can obviously, hence, you see them now too.
You know where?
Well, you're a Phillies fan. Hold on. If you're a Phillies fan, Joe Girardi's your manager. He blows. He doesn't believe in analytics, so that sucks. But what's much worse than that, that I couldn't even believe when I heard this, watching the Phillies squander their comeback against the Yankees the other night. Bryce Harper's up there, and they say, you know, and by the way, I have no sense that this guy could get a clutch hit. I'm not like, oh, Jesus, this is a big spot. Bryce Harper, watch out, Yankees. Look out. Here's Bryce Harper. The announcer says he's in the third year of his 13-year deal. It's like, oh, my God. You are so hamstrung. Wow. Wow. The Phillies will not contend for the next 10 years. Like, you just cannot hemorrhage that. And he's not, I mean, he's not a bad player, but is he going to get better? No, this is who he is. This high on base percentage. You know, his home run to RBI ratio is insane. 14 of his first 15 home runs were solo home runs, but like, it's like, so you're hamstrung by that contract. Your manager doesn't believe in analytics. Well,
you say that, except for the fact that the Phillies may very well win the 2021 NL East, which, as I said earlier, is doing a good impression of the 2020 NFC East. Speaking of which,
the Mets are good. The Mets are good. I'll say it here. The Mets are good.
Yeah, but if DeGrom is a question mark health-wise here and there the rest of the way, then that's what gives room for the Phillies to creep back in, especially if you assume the Braves are going to fade a little bit without their best position player. The Mets do seem – but it does, like I say, hang on their ace, who's tracking towards an MVP, or at least was – 3 weeks or so ago. By the way, we talked about Billy Martin the other day, and you start mentioning who should get fired from the Yankees, and it makes me think of Bob Lemon, which always confused a very young Dave watching World Series when Bob Lemon was sitting in the dugout. It's sort of like Dave Campo coaching the Dallas Cowboys. There are certain brands, like we've said, or Bob Davey coaching Notre Dame. It's like, but I thought this was a prestigious brand in sport. Bob Lemon's bringing it on home here for these Yankees. They're the best team, I thought. It is one of those things. I do like that. What would happen if that happened when Twitter was around? For real, imagine if a baseball team, let alone the most prominent brand in the sport, just like they fired and brought back the same coach, or of any sport. Like, what if Bob Kraft fired Bill Belichick 5 or 6 times, and Belichick were still coaching the team now? It's like, yeah, we have our differences here, and we have our fights, but we always resolve them and bring them back.
See, that's where, I mean, look, that's where the fan in me misses the boss, because it was so irrational. Now it's very corporatist, right? And like, all the owners know, look, Aaron Boone brings in Chad Green here, and he brings in Aroldis Chapman here. And they either win the game or they don't. But this emotional reaction to Aroldis Chapman giving up 2 home runs, like, that we should pay another manager salary. We should hemorrhage more millions to pay off this guy and then bring in another guy who's also going to bring Chad Green and Aroldis Chapman in the same. Like, what's so they figured it out, which is good business, but sad for the fans. That was so awesome when you could just know, oh, when I get the paper tomorrow, that Yankee manager is definitely going to be fired.
Spaghetti, you that definitely you have no, you couldn't have been around for any of that stuff. But it got to a point of it got to be self-parody, and they were in on it. They would do fake press conferences where Billy Martin and Steinbrenner would argue with each other, and then they'd laugh. It's like, yeah, but you guys actually don't like each other because the one guy keeps firing the other guy, and where's the dignity of just always going back? And it's fascinating also in light of Jerry Jones conceding this week that, one, he would do anything, his words, he would do anything to get to a Super Bowl. Want to get both your thoughts on that, on what that means, one. And two, him admitting that letting Jimmy Johnson out the door was a gigantic mistake, and it does in all the what-ifs of the Super Bowl era, and I love what-ifing pro football and how things could have played out differently. If the two things I always say, one, Scott Norwood makes that kick in the first Super Bowl, they win that because it matters who you beat. If you beat the Buffalo Bills, who have at least one Lombardi by the time the Cowboys catch him in the third straight Bills Super Bowl, the luster of beating that Bills team would be much greater than it was. By the time they play that third Super Bowl and the Cowboys house, and was like, poor Bills, what a punchline tragedy they are. So one there. But the other thing is, if Jimmy Johnson doesn't leave, they certainly win three straight Super Bowls, and maybe they win four straight. Ask Troy Aikman, ask Emmitt Smith, ask Michael Irvin. I've asked two of those guys about that, and what they always do is I say, are you happy with three? Are you bummed that there weren't more? They're like, man, we should have won five straight. It really makes me sick that we didn't win five straight. Now, other things maybe get in the way, but I really do think we would regard, you know, the Patriots, Brady, they could have done six in 20 years and all that. If there were a team that won four straight Super Bowls, that would achieve a yardstick that I don't even think you would hold these Patriots up to. I think you would say, well, that's the best football team of all time. Any team wins four straight Super Bowls under any condition. True?
For sure. But what I would say, you know, what's so remarkable about the Brady dynasties is there are two distinct dynasties within the Brady umbrella. There's two entirely different teams, which is what makes Brady's accomplishment singular. I wouldn't put either of the Patriot dynasties, 3-3, above the Steelers of the 70s or those Cowboys you just mentioned. Like, they, you know, what's crazy is to play long enough at a high enough level that you quarterback two entirely distinct dynasties. It's incomprehensible. Hey, real quick, because I know Spaghetti likes to learn on this podcast. This is his favorite thing, all the things they didn't teach him at BU. Spaghetti, Steinbrenner fired Yogi Berra when Yogi was 6-10. 6-10.
I know it was that quick. That's like
You know, guys have not come off the DL. Like, the season has barely started. Yeah, 6-10, he fucking fires Yogi and brings back Billy.
Wait a second. Didn't the Lakers fired Mike Brown after two games? Is that right? He was 0-2, and they're like, well, we've seen enough.
Is that the record?
He was quick. I'm pretty sure that happened in hockey with Barry Melrose, right? The Lightning, he was like 0-8 or 0-9.
That sounds right, recent. Too, yeah.
But the thing with the NBA... The NBA is always player driven, right? The star goes upstairs and says, I fucking hate this guy. So you could say that during training camp, right? But with the boss, it was always Steinbrenner. It was like Steinbrenner having a fit in the owner's box, and Yankee legend, 10-time World Series winner Yogi Berra is fired in the middle of April. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that was your old man must spin yarns for you, Spaghetti, about the Billy Martin Steinbrenner days of the Yanks. You know, glorious days too.
When they brought Billy back in 85, I think it was, Ricky Henderson said, why don't they just keep him here? It's like when Ricky has better insight into running your business. Yeah. Why don't you just keep him here?
Hench, Jerry Jones says he'll do anything as I mentioned, to get to a Super Bowl. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I wonder, you're a committed fan. First of all, you can only have one. You're going to get one title the rest of your days. What would you, which team would you choose to see do it?
Oh, this is going to be controversial. But because I've had so much Patriots, right? So much Patriots. My formative years, Larry Bird, those three championships, like that really fulfilled me. The KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen one, coming back from 24 points down in the Forum. That was incredible. The Red Sox winning four in my prime sports viewing. So I would say the Bruins, that I would want the Bruins to win another cup.
Wow, I'm very surprised by that.
That is the least I've had. You know, obviously I've only read about 1970 and 72 and, you know, seen the Bobby Orr highlights. And 2011 was incredible. And if I could have one of those four experiences again, I would have the one I've had the least of, which is the Bees raising the cup.
And would you be willing, let's say, I don't know, Spaghetti, throw out some standards here that he has to meet. Would you be willing to go through the rest of your life with a shaved head to get that Stanley Cup?
I would be willing to suffer virtually no personal sacrifice whatsoever.
Okay, it's just a matter of your
life. And it's not, you know, my life is great. I'm happy. All my teams have won it. I'm not looking. I mean, I guess I'd pay $5,000.
That's nothing to you, though. That's pocket change to people like me and Spaghetti. Eddie Spaghetti, would you shave your head and keep it that way for the rest of your life if it meant a Rangers and a Knickerbockers title over the course of your lifetime?
No.
And Giants and Yankees.
No, I don't care.
Those teams will all win a title in a 3-year period. You just have the price is no hair for you for the rest of your life. You're that vain. You're that vain, Spaghetti. I thought you cared about your team.
No, I don't wake up like screaming, crying over the lack of a championship. I just, if it happens, great. That's the whole point of sports is like,
shut the problem with your premise is like, you know, you have to watch it happen organically and it has to be real. Once you've shaved your head and you know it's going to happen because of your sacrifice, then it doesn't feel the same. You know, everyone else is getting so excited and you're sitting there with your bald head going, well, I knew it was going to happen. I shaved my head.
You're right. And I just explained that same dynamic to Sal the other day too, that I feel like, yeah, it's tough with this like banning stuff that you know is going to happen. I declare the Yankees aren't going to make the playoffs and then they get there and then you're going to watch it. It puts me into a tough spot ethically and self-morals because, as I always say, like I don't anticipate there's going to be an afterlife for me or anyone else. I think someone's going to flip the light switch is going to get flipped off and darkness will ensue for the rest of time. But
you know what you got to do?
If I'm wrong, the celebration is going to be way better than the people who expected it. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, that's why I went to church every week. And look, I got into heaven. See, it all worked out. See, it's going to be like, okay, a nice, you know, it's sort of like winning the pennant. Like, hey, we're not going to pop champagne. We have a larger prize. Like, it's going to be a subdued celebration for the pious, whereas Damashek's going to run around nude for eternity. Like, I was wrong about heaven, and now I'm in it. Let's party, right?
Shaq, here's how we're going to do. This is how we're going to create life after death for you.
Okay.
You're going to record a bunch of podcasts that you won't release.
Okay.
That will be released posthumously.
Okay.
And maybe we'll create a hologram. And so people can get their check for decades. Your podcasts will live in perpetuity on the server.
I appreciate the sentiment, but of course you've known me long enough to know, like if you know me for about like 14, 15 months, like I've emptied the tank at that point. Like you already know. At this point, we're riding on fumes. I mean, how many times do I have to say the same 3 to 5 half jokes out there? Like, we it's, you know, hey. I think if there is somebody at the light switch, they're like, all right, Damashek, we get First it. And all, we got it a long time ago. Good night. Click.
As always, you give yourself too little credit. But Spaghetti will appreciate this. this is such a beautiful sports nerd full circle friendship story. When Sheck and I met, the first day we laid eyes on each other to start this bromance, we were, I don't even know what the mechanics were, but we were being considered to write on a sports trivia game show. And like part of the interview, or I don't know what, why we were contestants against each other in this interview. So Sheck and I are like at a makeshift podium, going to have sports questions fired at us. And the category is the 500 home run club. And then what Sheck and I have to do is name one member of the 500 home run club, going back and forth until somebody blanks. And then the person who didn't blank, the last person to name one correctly, wins. So I know them all. And I'm like just licking my chops. Sheck does very well. You know, he maybe forgets Jimmy Fox or Mel Ott. I don't know who he doesn't have. But so Sheck loses. And then he kind of looks at me and I want to make him feel better. I said, don't worry about it. I knew them all. There was no way you're going to win.
What a jerk.
Don't beat yourself up. Was it Dan? Dave? Whatever. Don't beat yourself up.
Jim.
I couldn't lose. I couldn't lose. I literally had them chambered as soon as he said the category in order. So that was how we met. Okay. Fast forward. The last Super Bowl pre-pandemic. So this is really the last large gathering of friends, Chiefs, Niners. Sheck and I hanging out with the guys, watching football. We're talking. I don't know how it came up. We're talking probably we don't know who's going to win MVP of this game. You know, if the Niners win, who's the MVP, whatever. And somehow I brought a defensive player was in the conversation, but I brought up the topic of defensive players to win Super Bowl MVP. Sheck goes, I can name them all. And then he did. He named them all off the top of his head. And it was such a beautiful bookend to this sports bromance that it started with Hench knowing every member of the 500 home run club, which is really, I think, less impressive than off the top of your head, every defensive MVP of the Super Bowl. Like, that's a tough list. I mean,
well, I'll tell you this, to pat myself on the back, it was organic in the sense that it wasn't something that I just like Rain Man just tick off. Like, well, I memorized them when I was 9. And so then I just tap into that list. If I organically go Super Bowl I, what was Bart Starr, 35-10. If I start counting through them, I will arrive at the answer along the way. That's one of the better ones. I bet most people don't know this one. Eddie Spaghetti, Super Bowl XII provided us with our only dual Super Bowl MVPs. They were defensive players for the Dallas Cowboys. Can you name them?
One's
in the Hall of Fame.
That was great. I have no Super Bowl 12. I mean, what year is that? In the 70s? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's 1977. January of 78. Broncos shouldn't have gotten there, of course. They got a dodgy call that would have been flipped in the instant replay age, and the Raiders would have played the Cowboys. Isn't it weird, the Raiders and Cowboys, that Snake Stabler and Roger Staubach never went head-to-head in a meaningful game? It seems weird. Anyhow, it was Randy White and Harvey Martin is the answer there. Quickly, Hench, I want to get your thoughts on this. We'll dig in on this because I really am fascinated by the potential shakeup of college football and college basketball. If Texas and Oklahoma move to the SEC, I mean, you have the all-time power conference, but then what becomes of the Pac-12 and who do they absorb and what then does the Big 12 do? I mean, you would have so many of the powerhouse teams all in one conference. We'll get into that next week and see what shakes out there because there's some question about it. It sure sounds like Oklahoma and Texas aren't denying that they are inquiring about that, but we'll see what shakes out and get into that next week because I want to get your thoughts, Hench. Let's tap into the offensive meter this week, see how offended we should be by something. First of all, how offended should we be, because some people out there are expressing offense, at the NFL saying, you don't have, you ain't, you can't field a team, you forfeit the game. you ain't vaccinated, you can't play. Offensive meter to Kevin Hinch.
Zero.
Zero. 0.0. You, so Cole Beasley is a for instance. You don't care if he takes a stand and it forces him out.
DeAndre Hopkins too, by the way. He, during the show, he's been tweeted pretty adamantly against it, and I believe Matthew Judon as well. So not even just Cole Beasley.
Really? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right, put up a fight. The NFL. How many times do you see them retract a statement like this? I don't think they're going to. If you're really going to walk away from a season of football over not getting vaccinated, how about that?
I mean, it's, you know, look, I mean, obviously it's like fucking end times now. I don't know, you know, the various global pandemics that humanity has survived, and like people during the bubonic plague, hey, we could just give you a little shot and then you'd be fine. It's, no, thanks. I'll take my chances with the Black Death. So Ryan Clark made a good point on SportsCenter, you know, about shared sacrifice and what it means to be on a team. What it means to be a teammate, you know, and I think getting vaccinated is a pretty small price to pay. And by the way, the FDA could feel free to just hurry up and just say, okay, it's been tested on 1 billion people. That's a bigger sample than any trial of all time. Let's go. It's official. It's not emergency use. So yeah, everybody get vaccinated. And if you're not vaccinated, you can't go to the concert. You can't play football. Like, we're going to crush this thing. The amazing thing about the vaccine is it crushes it. It crushes it almost instantaneously. It's a miracle. Science is a miracle. And Cole Beasley's got it figured out in his basement. Jesus Christ.
Yes, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. There is a First Amendment. As I always say, I love the First Amendment because it allows people to share their foolish opinions. That, have at it. People are allowed to react to foolish opinions or to good opinions. It really would be, I wonder what the pushback will be because, you know, I've talked to people at the NFL and about like how they kind of operate with like, what do you do when Colin Kaepernick's taking a knee? How big of a concern is this? Like, they'll tell you the reality is that it's like 10% on the margins are the ones who really are passionate enough on either side of these big issues enough to like, I'm not going to watch now. I can't tune in because of what you're doing. Not that this is political or otherwise, but something that, you know, veers into social issues and stuff. So I do wonder if, like, does Cole Beasley anticipate people rallying to make it so that he can play? I don't think Cole Beasley reaches the level. Like, I do kind of see, like, Arizona fans being like, Nuke Hopkins. There will be some push. I wonder where the heat goes, though. Is it on Nuke Hopkins? Like, get vaccinated because you're going to blow a chance we have at the playoffs. Or is it going to be a pushback at the NFL? I guess the answer is both, right? I mean, it depends which of those fringes you're on.
Just reminding listeners, this is a sports show. You can go to fanduel.com/-3 to play.
Cole Beasley started it. Cole Beasley started it.
Well, you could bet on the Dolphins to win the AFC East. I think that's a great value bet right now. Well, I'll tell you what I'm offended by. This is a conversation for another day. It's too far gone now. They've shown up with the sweaters. They've had their expansion draft. The name Kraken for a team. Kraken? There's only one Kraken. You could name your team the Gorillas, but you can't name your team the King Kongs because there's only one King Kong. You can't name a team after one thing. Now we already doesn't end in S, so it's already a grammatical conundrum. But there's only one Kraken, and now there are 20 guys on the Krakens.
When you're playing a sport where the worst thing that could happen would be a crack in the ice, that. You can't name your team after everyone's biggest fear.
Yeah, touche. I do like the sweaters, though. All right, good times as always, Hinch. What a pleasure to see you. Eddie Spaghetti, you're a joy as ever. Make sure you bet with us or fade us, however you please. You do it at fanduel.com/-3. Enjoy the baseball. Enjoy the Olympics. Football is nigh. Vince Williams is gone from the Steelers. Roethlisberger showed up to camp. Everybody's looking at pictures of that. We have so much to kibitz about. Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, still don't know where or if they're even going to play. Training camp has started. I don't know. The world's upside down. We'll have more for you on all of it, though, on the other side of the weekend to break it down for you. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.